One of the things that I've been saying after reading your book is there's a reason that we have the Bible. But, you know, why is it not just a series of rules of do's and do nots? There are stories involved in it. And I was recently a guest host on the Anarchist Bible Study, where we went over in the book of Judges, Gideon. And Gideon's story has that fall off almost immediately. You think he's going to be redeemed, and at the end, there's the tragedy. He's not quite the king, but he also is the king because he takes the cloak, he takes the medal, he takes the gold. He names his son, my father is the king, and it was the Anakin Skywalker. You know, you were supposed to be the chosen one, he does point though to. I won't be the king, but God should be your king. And so it's again this idea where seeing Christ preordained in the scripture of this is the fulfillment that he's going to come and bring about. And that's why it's so important that we maintain the Old Testament. Or reading Job, and I read Job when we were going through it. It was a very providential, not lucky, but providential. And how God doesn't give an answer. He doesn't give an answer for why the serpent. Why does Satan fall? He doesn't give us that answer. That's why stories like Paradise Lost seems so important to us, because it kind of gives us the fan fiction version of, well, what was behind the scenes of that? And you start Job in. At the throne, and you're like, whoa, this is something new and interesting, and yet the focus after being in the mud almost literally with Job for so many chapters and his friends, who probably aren't the best of friends at the end, is God focused, so I thought that was a good challenging outlook of my own ideas of, yeah, I like seeing myself in this, but ultimately what's the focus of creation? Is it me? Well, it can't be, because I'm who I am. I'm just created. I'm fallen. I'm redeemed. But then, okay, well, who redeemed me, and who created me, and who put out those conditions that I came to salvation for? And the Bible explicitly talks about that salvation isn't a work of my own doing. There's nothing that I'm doing. I'm not force sensitive. I'm not salvation sensitive, but that I'm chosen freely by God to come for being I could have been a vessel of wrath or a vessel of glory. And your Romans 9 part, which we kept teasing, because it could have been so easy to put Romans 9 right up front, but you laid out this kind of meta narrative, and then boom, hit us with Romans 9. So,
yeah, you know, the issue really stems from, why did God create the world? You know, did he create it for our sake, or did he create it for his sake? Yes, he created it for our sake. But he created for our sake, ultimately for his sake. And what I mean by that is that God's ultimate reason for creating a world was to bring glory to himself, because he is the only one worthy of such supreme glory. And he has chosen to do that by sharing his glory with creatures that he chose to make, and to magnify his glory before those creatures, who were designed to then magnify his glory, to worship him, and to be in awe and wonder of who this amazing God is. But how did God most magnify his glory? Well, he could have been glorified by creating a paradise in which the fall would have never taken place. He could have been glorified in that. There's no question. God will glorify himself in everything, but how would God supremely glorify himself? And I believe if we just back up and ask the question, how has God most supremely glorified himself? Every Christian at some point has got to come back to the incarnation, the death, and resurrection of Christ. Well, what is that? What was the purpose of that? Well, it's obvious that the purpose for the incarnation is redemption. It is to redeem sinful human beings from this corrupt world and from their own corrupt hearts and minds, their own corrupt souls, and that God is most supremely magnified in the grace that he displays in saving, you know, these rotten, fallen creatures who do not deserve salvation, who do not deserve redemption, and yet by God's grace, he redeems them anyway. And he does that by himself entering the story through the second person of the Trinity and, you know, condescends to our level, enters into our pain and our misery, and then he redeems our pain, our misery, our sin through his own death, brutal death on the cross, in which he experienced the wrath of God and thereby satisfies God's wrath in order to redeem these undeserving creatures and thereby magnify his glory beyond anything that we could ever imagine. And there is no world that we can conceive of whereby God's glory could be magnified more than in the story that he has already established through the Redeemer who came and defeated sin and evil and death and the curse and suffering and pain and all of that through his death and resurrection and ultimately through the establishment of his eternal kingdom.